Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 213 of Beyond the Supernatural. We are still in the skill descriptions section, but it's rapidly winding down. We're moving on now from the transportation skill category to the weapon proficiency ancient skill category. Now, transportation does have some new things, some things of interest. There is combat driving on this page, which is yet another attempt to implement car combat, car chase type rules in a skill system that doesn't readily accommodate them. We've seen similar attempts in Ninjas and Super Spies and Heroes Unlimited, but it's all fiddly rule stuff. It's not really worth talking about. This page also contains some oddly specific and oddly grouped transportation skills that we haven't seen in the past. For example, there is kayaking and canoes as a distinct skill, which is fine. Nothing against kayaks or canoes. It's just a little odd for the game to be at a high enough resolution to pick up the specific skill of kayaking. There's also a skill for motorcycles and snowmobiles, which seems odd, and in fact, if you read the description, it's even broader than advertised. Quote, this skill includes the piloting of all two- and three-wheeled vehicles, such as motorcycles of all types, dirt bikes and mopeds, as well as snowmobiles, jet sleds, miniature ATVs, and other scaled-down vehicles. I'm not a driver, I could be wrong about this, but it seems intuitively wrong to me that the same skill is used for motorcycles and snowmobiles. There's even a water skiing and surfing skill, which, first of all, water skiing and surfing are not the same thing. I feel that to the limited extent that those practices need to be quantified and categorized in this game, they should be distinct. Number two, I don't really think of either water skiing or surfing as a mode of conveyance. And I mean, other than like staying upright in trying conditions, I'm not sure what you would use your percentile in this skill in. Like, you can't really have a water ski chase, right? Like, that would be odd if you were a master water skier and some other master water skier had, you know, stolen your precious gems. So you had to get out there on the ocean with your respective motorboat pilots and have a water ski chase. Surfing surely should be a physical skill, since the only vehicle involved is a surfboard, and I don't think of a surfboard as a vehicle. Like in a comic book, if a character like Ben Grimm said, I can pilot anything, I would understand that to include like cars, trucks, planes, helicopters even, but I wouldn't take it to guarantee that he can surf. Surfing isn't piloting. It's a Southern California flavored physical skill, like tanning or devil sticks. But anyway, that's all pretty thin for an episode. And other than that, all we've got on this page is a bunch of weapon proficiencies, which we've seen before. And you know what that means. It's time, once again, to delve into the Z-Files, that archive of mythical monsters and alien beings pulled from the pages of Villains Unlimited, Palladium's supplement for its Heroes Unlimited RPG. Today, in the first of two closely related cases, we turn to case number 166, Medusa, aka the untrademarkable Medusa, because Medusa is from Greek myth and Marvel Comics can suck it. The first and most important thing to know about Medusa comes not from her written profile, but from her illustration on this page, which you can find on Instagram. I don't feel able to do this illustration justice in all of its nuance, but allow me to attempt a verbal description of this being. First, its legs, then it's snakes. That's all. Feet in high heels, up to calves, then thighs, then hips, standard legs, black pants, no frills, literal or figurative, standard legs, a sort of metal waistband, and then snakes. A lot of them, emerging up and out of the metal waistband as though the waistband were a hairband and the snakes were an out-of-control fountain top. It's just snakes. First legs, then snakes. The illustration does depict two indistinct eyes peering out from within the snakes, but Medusa definitely has no conventional arms or torso, so whatever those two eyes are attached to, it's not a humanoid head as we know it. It may just be another snake. So Medusa is a strange creature, but what is her background? Quote, the monstrous creature known as the Medusa is believed to be a member of a forgotten race of subterranean beings that may predate human existence. It is likely that it was her kind that gave rise to the old Greek myths about the Gorgon. The myth was a little off, however, because the Medusa cannot turn people to stone. However, the snake's poisonous bite acts instantly to paralyze. The victim's skin takes on a gray pallor, which does give it a stone-like appearance. Ah, yes, a classic misunderstanding by those primitives, the ancient Greeks. What dummies they were. One imagines a typical dumbass ancient Greek saying, "Oh, snap, I took my eyes off my buddy Perseus for 1 minute while he was fighting that big tangle of snakes, and now he's fallen over. He's not moving. I know what must have happened. Those snakes must have looked at him, and now he's turned into a statue. Why, it's perfectly obvious. There he is, in a heap on the ground, just like a statue, immobile." This doesn't say much for the Greeks' familiarity with statues, about which they knew a thing or two historically, but, and it's easy to miss this point, it also doesn't say a ton about their knowledge of snakes. If one of my friends dove into a tangle of snakes and then seized up and fell over, I would assume that they had been bitten by one of those snakes, if not more of those snakes. Not that they had been magically transformed into a sculpture of a person on the ground. But of course, we know more now than we did then. Quote, "This particular Gorgon was found unconscious on the coast of Syria and taken into custody for examination. Studies show a creature that is both totally alien to humans, yet remarkably similar in the area of female reproductive organs." Studies, you say? Studies show this. Did you give our girl Medusa a fucking questionnaire? Did you show her a model of some fallopian tubes and have her give you a yes or no? Like, nod your million little snake heads if your junk is like this. What studies are you referring to? Couldn't have been just a quick look while she was approaching you, maybe naked. I don't know what the Gorgon's cultural conventions are, but in any case, it would prove nothing. So she's got a vulva. That's just an attractive, functional design. Who knows what's under the hood? Does she? Do Gorgons practice medicine? Or was it perhaps that Medusa was given a full medical examination of the parts of her that could be medically examined? Like, from the waist up, I'm just going to write down abomination. But, let's call in a podiatrist and a gynecologist, because those are parts I recognize. Let's see what's up with that stuff. The record is unclear here in the Z-Files, but this must have been some form of examination, or testimony from Medusa herself. Quote, "To everybody's amazement, the Medusa is intelligent and speaks a dialect of Greek. Each snake-like appendage functions like tentacles with eyes and a mouth, giving the single controlling intelligence a score of eyes, ears, arms, and attacks from all directions." This is not correct multiplication. If you take the zero arms that a snake has and multiply them by 10, 20, even 100, the number of arms you arrive at is zero. But I don't think these Syrian quote-unquote researchers are exactly scientists. More on that later. Quote, "The snake appendages are quite prehensile and can coil around objects and use simple weapons and tools. However, they are far more limited than hands." Indeed, the statistics for Medusa bear out this characterization of her snake appendages. While Medusa does suffer a minus 20 penalty to skills such as picking locks, sewing, and fine electrical work, which if anything seems generous, imagine trying to sew with a snake's mouth instead of a hand. Nonetheless, she is an excellent driver with a 96% proficiency in driving, and she is proficient with blunt weapons, knives, and swords. This is not only good news for Medusa in terms of self-defense, but it is good herpetological news for all of us because, as I stated before, there is nothing to Medusa but legs and snakes. If she is using a sword, she is holding that sword with a snake, which proves, at least in theory, that a regular snake could also sword fight, using its body as a makeshift hand and arm. Do I believe that snakes will sword fight in our lifetime? Very possibly, but only just within our lifetimes. Because if snakes learn to sword fight, it's over for us. Quote, "Where the creature may have come from remains a mystery. The thing has been totally uncooperative and violent." Oh, imagine that. Imagine finding an unconscious sentient being on the coast of Syria, quote, "taking it into custody, doing a lot of intrusive snooping around about its genitals, and finding it to be, quote, uncooperative and violent. Who would have thought? I, for one, am beginning to side with the snake monster in all this, and if I was sympathetic to her before, the following put this investigator firmly in camp snake. Quote, "Medusa's only friend is the renegade cyborg, Razor. It is through Razor that Medusa has learned about the world of humans, and has realized that she possesses powers that give her an edge over the pitiful, soft beings. Razor arranged for her escape, and the two have been causing havoc ever since." Causing havoc, I believe, is a euphemism. This is, after all, an early 90s Palladium product. Certain things have to remain veiled, but I think it went down like this. Razor, the beautiful but deadly bionic assassin, takes one knee in front of Medusa, holds one of her many snaky appendages in hand, kisses its head gently. The snake closes its eyes, and Razor, hands still soaked in the blood, of Medusa's captors, says, "Medusa, will you cause havoc with me?" And Medusa, from whatever the fuck she's got inside that tangle of snakes, in perfect but archaic Greek, says, "Yes, Razor, yes." Medusa and Razor are referred to in the heading of this section as, quote, "Medusa and Razor, a duo." They're a duo, all right. A tight duo. Medusa is on Razor's health plan from her terrorist agency. I think they're probably thinking of adopting kids. But for right now, they're just having a lot of fun, sharing an apartment, sharing their careers, sharing their lives. They went to the bank together to open up a savings account. I know you, of course, Razor, but who's this? Oh, this? This is Medusa. She's the other member of my duo. Hell yeah, she is. Hell yeah, she is. These two are great together. Saving someone from a band of over-inquisitive gynecological sleuths, great fucking basis for a relationship. And while Medusa's body is unconventional, she's got a lot to recommend her. Real strong, physical strength 18, a lot of gumption, mental endurance 18. Her legs go all the way up, literally, all the way up. It's just snakes on top. She's 7 feet tall. I assume that's including snakes. No clear proportion is given. I would have liked to see a number like X number of feet tall at the waist. If she's 7 feet tall at the waist, then I may have to reconsider some things here. And perhaps this would explain why everyone seems to have had her genitals top of mind after meeting her. Like, if they're looming over you like that, naturally, you want to know what you're dealing with up there. But I don't think that's the case. I think that her legs are long, but within the normal human range. Snakes on top. Highest snake head goes to 7 feet above the ground. That's tall, but not inconveniently tall. And anyway, I don't think this is physical. Medusa and Razor's relationship is not shallow. It is not superficial. Clearly, because Medusa is not interested in human beauty standards. Quote, "Disposition, colon, hates humans, sees them as ugly and inferior. She is very aggressive, competitive, treacherous, and volatile. She kills the repugnant humans without hesitation. Trusts her friend Razor completely, and likes the DT aliens." By the way, DT, that's the Dark Tribunal. We covered them in a previous Z-Files. This is all very interesting to me. Medusa sees humans as ugly and inferior, yet she's in a lifetime causing havoc relationship with Razor. Just a hot and heavy duo. And she also likes the DT aliens, who have a variety of different appearances. Many of them look just like humans. So while Medusa's personal background makes humans not physically attractive to her, she can get over that for either platonic relationships, like with the DT aliens, or for a havoc-causing duo, as with Razor. What's the common thread there between Razor and the Dark Tribunal aliens? Both of them were willing to extend a helping hand to someone who is outwardly monstrous and who is deeply repulsed by the basic nature of humanity, which is highly relatable. Now, I'm not a bundle of venomous snakes, except figuratively, but I've been hanging around humans for damn near 40 years now, and they leave a lot to be desired. And I didn't wake up on the shore of Syria with a fucking team of gynecologists up in an observation helicopter, taking field notes about my crotch while I'm passed out. She has not exactly seen the best of humanity, but nonetheless, despite those prejudicial circumstances, when Razor extended a loving pointy hand to her, she accepted. She formed a trusting, havoc-causing duo with Razor, and she was open to working with the DT aliens, despite them also being hideous monkey people, because she isn't shallow. She may have the diabolical alignment, but Medusa is not shallow. She is not about appearances. She is about the basic emotional reality of being repulsed by most humans, and I don't feel we're in a position to fault her for that, especially when her partner in crime is similarly misanthropic. Speaking as a human being, when both members of a loving, havoc-causing duo, one human, one snake lady, when both of them look at me as a human being and are repulsed by my behavior, in my mind, two beautiful, havoc-causing ladies can't be wrong. It's time for me to look within. Maybe I'm the one with a problem. So I don't recommend antagonism toward Medusa. However, she is known to attempt to kill humans, so some discussion of her abilities is in order. As mentioned before, she's made of snakes. Asset number one, top of the resume. Bullet point, made of snakes. Each of these snakes is capable of delivering a poisonous bite that can paralyze. The duration of paralysis is 1d6 minutes, but that is per bite. Per the text, she has 10 snake bite attacks. The illustration clearly shows her with more than 10 snake heads, so perhaps that just means that only 10 of them are poisonous or can attack in one turn or something of that nature. But in any case, there's every possibility that a full attack from Medusa could poison a single victim to the extent that they're paralyzed for a half hour or more. So when she's able to attack an opponent by surprise or in a concentrated way, Medusa is extremely deadly. Like all Gorgons, she also has the supernatural power of chameleon, allowing her to blend into her environment, and night vision and energy resistance. As previously noted, she is known to wield knives and swords. so even those who are immune or resistant to her poison may face the grisly and badass fate of being decapitated by a sword-wielding snake. We're going to talk about Razor tomorrow, but even taking Medusa on her own, I recommend her use in Beyond the Supernatural. She has a mythical origin. There are secret records about her kept by some kind of cabal of researchers tied to, as we're going to see tomorrow, some kind of government or terrorist organization. She is, in fact, a naturally occurring sort of cryptid monster. So there are a lot of different ways to approach Medusa from like a lore perspective in a Beyond the Supernatural context. Lots of different characters who might have knowledge and connections that allow them to get to this mystery in a different way. Her actual abilities, I think, are nice and spooky. They feel paranormal, they feel cryptid, despite being technically superpowers. But they're also not exactly what a Beyond the Supernatural psychic can do. The chameleon ability is particularly good. I think the contrast between having such a striking and frightening appearance, this like bundle of snakes image, is very strong. Combining that with the fact that she could be there next to you at any moment, you wouldn't know because she's blended into the background and is hiding until it's her moment to strike. That combination is very strong. Likewise, night vision to be able to sneak up on the dark or arrange to have the lights cut when she attacks so that then if you can get a light source, there's a big reveal that you're fighting this weird snake creature. The poison itself is tactically interesting. The snake bites don't do very much damage, but they can paralyze for a significant amount of time. So I think there's a lot of drama and tactical depth to be drawn out of that. An indecisive early encounter with Medusa on her terms would be a great way to frighten but not wipe out the characters, leading to a much more measured approach later. The only adjustment I'd feel the need to make for Beyond the Supernatural with Medusa is to change her motivation, to change her job. As it stands, she and Razor act as mercenaries together, and in the world of Beyond the Supernatural, where the Just for Kicks masquerade is strong, I think it strains credulity for anyone to hire a mercenary who is 50% made of snakes. Seems like it would be difficult for her to transact business. She could do it through Razor, but Razor is also not a very Beyond the Supernatural character, as we'll discuss next time. She is just a straight-up Bionics character. So I would perhaps not use her as a mercenary. I think that using her as more of a general criminal or as an agent of the Dark Tribunal, if you're using them, would help keep the paranormal weird in the context of the Beyond the Supernatural world. But other than that detail, Medusa is tailor-made for Beyond the Supernatural. And unlike a lot of these supervillains in Villains Unlimited, she's not too powerful for Beyond the Supernatural player characters to take on. This would be good early campaign stuff. And if needed, she has backup. Join me next time as copied and pasted ancient weapon proficiencies continue in Beyond the Supernatural, and you know what that means, on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top secret Patreon-only RSS feed. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. The theme for the Z-Files is Lightless Dawn by Kevin MacLeod. Kevin MacLeod's music, used under a Creative Commons license, can be found at incompetech.filmmusic.io. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.